And ABBA may have given the world some of the happiest, most uplifting pop songs ever recorded. But their story isn't all sunshine and sparkles. I'm telling you, beneath the surface, there were complex relationships, tensions about creativity, and also the music industry was changing all around them. So here to take us beyond their hit singles and really delve into the real story of ABBA is Carl Magnus Palm. He's the author of Bright Lights, Dark Shadows. Carl, fantastic to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing what you've got to say about your biography on ABBA. What inspired you to write this biography in the first place?
This biography has just been published in a thoroughly revised edition, but it was first published in 2001. So that's quite a while ago now.
God, it's history then, just like they do.
yes, for sure. And, you know, at the time, there wasn't really an in-depth biography about ABBA around. So I felt, you know, someone has to do this. And I took it upon myself to make sure that it was done.
And did this just come from a point of view of being an ABBA fan, or is this something that you've always been into, you know, writing about musicians, and you spotted a gap in the market there?
Well, writing about musicians and stuff is something I'm interested in, but I'm also an ABBA fan. And at the time, there wasn't really anything like this book out there. And I felt, you know, ABBA is one of the biggest and best pop groups of all time. They deserve to have their story told in an in-depth biography.
I mean, that's a bold statement, biggest and best. I mean, undoubtedly they were huge, and their music remains a legacy today. You know, everyone in the current generations also knows the main, at least the classic ABBA songs. Why do you say that they were the best? What do you feel made them so special? Or so good, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, they were one of the best within their field, certainly. It's just the craftsmanship of it all, the care they took with their songs, and also at the time when they were active in the 70s and early 80s, many. People in the know, so to speak, thought that this was superficial bubble gum and that it wouldn't last, that it was, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. But there was always a hint of something serious, something sad underneath that sort of glossy, shiny surface. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's lasted so long.
Yeah, maybe so. You're so right there, because, you know, when you think of ABBA, it is all the glitz and the glam, and it's the showmanship, it's the, you know, it's the bright lights and the sparkles. But you've actually described them as shadowy, secretive figures, which does not go hand in hand with the public persona that they were putting out there. How did you discover that there was more to their story, and how did you sort of actually get into that? What did you have to do to discover who they were as people behind the facade?
It was a matter of research, really, because they'd after their heyday in the 1970s, they broke up in the early 80s, and from that point on, no one really wrote very much about ABBA. No one did any research. No one was bothered, could be bothered really, trying to find out who they really were. They were just, it's Dancing Queen. What a great song. The winner takes it all. Yeah, great. But they weren't really, no one thought there was a story there to be told. So all I had to do really was to do interviews with the people who knew them and go back to old interviews that they'd given back in the 70s, when they were very open sometimes about their feelings and their views on life and their interpersonal relationships and all the rest of it.
And in your bio, you talk about different stories about the different members, and each of them seems to have, you know, something to say for themselves. I mean, if we started with Annie Frid, her life story is clearly fascinating. What can you tell us about her early years and those royal connections as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Her life story is just, if it was a piece of fiction, you wouldn't really believe it, you know.
Yeah, like, it could be a movie in itself.
I mean, she was the result of a liaison between a Norwegian teenage girl and a German soldier during World War II, when Germany occupied Norway. Wow. And then her dad disappeared. He left Norway before she was even born, and they thought he was dead for decades, you know. And her mother died before Frida was even 2 years old, and Frida moved with her grandmother to Sweden, and she grew up under rather poor circumstances. I mean, it wasn't like they starved, but it was, you know, it was kind of hard for them.
Yeah.
And then she becomes a singer, she becomes a member of ABBA, and she ends up after the ABBA years, after her split from Benny Andersson, to whom she was married at the time, she ends up marrying this prince, and she becomes a princess. I mean, it's an insane story.
a genuine fairy tale, rags to riches. And how do you feel that she was emotionally, you know, when she was in ABBA, all through her life story? Did she take well to the fame? Was she on a mission to sort of try and improve her life, or was she just enjoying being all singing and all dancing? How complex was she as a person?
I think she was rather complex, because she, you know, her origins were rather, it hadn't sort of been the, emotional starting point for a secure emotional makeup, if you will. So I think she had a lot of self-doubt. I mean, she said that herself, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of insecurities, and a lot of, you know, self-worth issues. But that's also something she has in common with a lot of successful acts out there. You know, look at me. I need to be fulfilled through the audience, mm-hmm. if you will. So she got more self-confidence through the ABBA years and went on improving herself and trying to become a stronger, more solid person even after the ABBA years.
And what about the other female member of the band, Agnes? You know, she often came across as a bit distant in public. Was that her media perception, or was she genuinely quite unhappy? And what was her relationship like with Annie Frid?
I think she was someone who, in her teen years, couldn't wait to become famous. You know, she was writing songs, and she had her breakthrough as a 17-year-old with a song she had written herself. She became a big star in Sweden overnight almost. And it was like, wow, this is so fantastic. I'm a star now. But then, in very early ABBA years, she sort of, you know, this fame thing is maybe not, it's all cracked up to be, you know, it's a bit too much. And I think she got more fame than she bargained for. Mm. So I think that was a struggle for her. And also she became a mother, you know, twice she had two children during the ABBA years, and that conflict, wanting to take care of the children and all, you know, and at the same time having duties, if you will, as an ABBA member, that was a conflict for her, and that became troublesome.
And did it put a strain? I'll let you go. I just wanted to ask, you know, about the friendship and the relationship there with the other band members.
Yeah, I mean, she and Frida, I think in the very early days when they got together as couples, you know, Björn and Benny already knew each other and they were writing songs together. And then Benny met Frida. They became an item, and Björn met Agneta and they became an item. And in the very early days, just, you know, the pre-ABBA years and just the very start of ABBA, I think Frida and Agneta were quite close. Both families lived quite near each other. But they were always different as people. So during the course of the ABBA years, they sort of drifted apart socially. I don't think they hung out very much. They were very different, you know, different temperaments, different interests, different outlooks. But of course, there was this myth that they hated each other and that they, you know, had fights with gold discs, whatever, you know, absurd stories. But that wasn't the truth. They were always there for each other. They supported each other and had 100% respect for each other as ABBA members and always, you know, only they, those two ladies were the only people who knew what it was like to be, you know, the faces of ABBA, because Björn and Benny were a bit in the background. Everyone was sort of focused on the ladies, and they were the only two people who knew what that was like. So that was a bond between them.
Right, so you're not, it's not like the hit sisterhood story of the century, but you know, it certainly wasn't claws out trying to take each other down. That's sort of what I'm hearing there. And then what about the guys as well? You know, might have taken a bit more of a background role. How much does your book go into their stories and their personalities? And what do you have to tell us as discoveries about them?
Well, I'm, you know, devoting equal time, I think, to all four members. I hope so anyway.
Excellent.
And of course, Björn and Benny, they were the musical backbone of ABBA. I mean, ABBA was very much the Benny and Björn project, if you will. And they brought in the ladies because they were much better singers. That was basically how it happened. And they were, Benny was a more easygoing person, someone who didn't worry too much, who was sort of focused on the music all the time. That was his main thing in life from when he was very, very young. Just play the piano all the time, every day, which he still does. So that was his thing. He sort of sailed through the ABBA experience, I think, pretty undamaged. Whereas Björn was more insecure about himself and tended to worry about things and, oh, how's this going to work out? At the same time, being a very good, you know, partner for Benny, they sort of completed each other, and they wrote the songs together, even though Benny was the main musical motor. So I think they were very fortunate to find each other because they both brought something to the partnership that the other person lacked.
Nice. That is like the dream team, or anyone in a band or any other sort of creative outlook is looking for. How much does your book go into the personal stories of the band members versus, you know, talking about their actual music? You know, they had a production quality that was ahead of their time. They really had a unique sound. How much do you look at that? Or is this purely, you know, kind of the nitty-gritty of the gossip?
excuse me. Well, it is the complete story, I would like to think. Anyway, it is about the music as well as the personalities, the creativity, and what happened outside the recording studio, if you will. And it's about the ups and downs of their business, you know, because they became famous for their, you know, investments that they did, and their relationship with their manager Stig Anderson, who is like the fifth main character in this book, who's an absolutely fascinating person, who was very volatile, very, you know, hot-tempered, and eventually they fell out with him because of all these business stuff that happened. So it is certainly an intriguing story.
And like you say, now since then, there's been many stories that have come out about ABBA. Why now do you feel like this book needs a sort of a re-release? What's it got that's new or relevant to today?
Well, that's a good question. It was about 10 years ago. It was 10 years earlier was the last time I revised it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff has happened during those 10 years, not least ABBA's, you know, comeback with mm-hmm. the Voyage project. They recorded an album. They had said for many years, you know, oh, we love what we did with ABBA, but it's in the past and we're never going to reunite. We're never going to do what all these other bands do and reunite. And yet they did that. And that had to be covered. That had to be a part of their biography. Plus, you know, you find stuff they said from earlier interviews, old things that surface, and you want to put that into a book like this, because this is like, now it's going to sound like I'm bragging, but this is actually the only comprehensive biography about ABBA out there. And I feel a duty to see to it that it's up to date and accurate, and that you get everything you need to know about ABBA in it.
And just out of curiosity, do they have any input in this book, or do you know if they've ever read it, or made any comments, or their management team, or anyone connected with them?
I've interviewed all four ABBA members in the past, but for other projects. So those interviews are in this book, of course, but they don't have any sort of direct input into this book. I have no idea if they've read it. I'm sure they flicked through it maybe. I think generally they don't really read books about themselves because they've already lived through it. You know, they'd rather read a good novel, I think.
That's a really good point, actually. That's a really good point. Anyway, Carla, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. It's been a real pleasure. The book is called Bright Lights, Dark Shadows. And if you're interested, it's piqued your interest. You can find it on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop and also on Amazon. Carl, I'll say goodbye now and thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
TRE, Talk Radio Europe.